This episode is sponsored by Evolve Bootcamp, my year-round outdoor functional fitness program that delivers a sense of warmth, friendliness, and spirit, along with butt-kicking, hellishly fun-filled workouts that embody a caring attitude, evoking the idea that everybody that exercises outside naturally evolves. Class begins at 6 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Come by and try a free trial class on the Boston Common if you dare. Welcome to the Evolve WMMA podcast featuring the greatest upcoming female fighters on the planet. They are women who have gone against conventional thinking to pursue their dreams. These fighters inspire, empower, and unleash excellence within a new generation of female warriors as they rise and evolve into the best possible versions of themselves through the power of mixed martial arts. Hey, 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 this is Evolve WMMA, and I'm your host, Shelly Devine. So last night I went to some local fights, local Muay Thai fights held by No Boundary Fight at Melrose Memorial Hall here in Massachusetts. What was awesome about the show is not, you know, the spectacular action-packed fights by all the athletes in it, but also the good sportsmanship. It made me realize that without these smaller promotions, giving fighters the experience to be able to showcase their skills live, that they would not learn the etiquette of winning and losing well. While they move up in the ranks to possibly become world champions. So I thought it was a great night of fights, a lot of great fans, spectators. Everybody was, I think, really delighted and pleased with the entire event. But it brings to mind for our next guest, guests have been selected to represent the United States at the 2019 WAKO Kickboxing World Championships that take place in Sarajevo, Bosnia, this October 19th to the 27th. So it's pretty exciting to see what could happen with, fighters that are, fighting in these smaller events and what could possibly, be in their future. Like some of the fighters that I have today on the show. I'd like to welcome back to the show Invicta FC featherweight champion Pam Bam Sorensen, along with her teammate Nate the Natural Richardson and coach Chris Sishun, who he's been named as one of two head coaches to lead Team USA. Welcome back to the show. Hi, Pam. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you could come on to the show again. I'm really excited for you because you're going to be competing again in 2 weeks again, right?
Yes. We're going to go out to Bosnia and do some kickboxing out there.
And you have your fellow compadres here. We have Nate, the natural. I want to know what the natural is, Richardson. And then your coach, Chris. And Chris, I don't know how to say your name, but is it Shion?
It's Shion.
Psychon, so kind of like a little psycho. Do you get that?
Sometimes? Oh, we're going to use that.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay. All right. So I'm not way off base then. All right. Hey, Nate. Welcome to the show. Good to have you here. So you guys are all going as a team. I'm going to mute you guys. All going as a team. And I don't know much about the tournament that you're in, but I guess I'm going to have Chris elaborate on it and what it is, who gets chosen to go. Is this his first time going? So you can just kind of rattle off whatever you want. And if I have a question, I'll ask it. Here we go.
Okay.
Chris.
So yeah, we're going to compete at the WAKO World Championships. WAKO is the international governing body for the sport of kickboxing, and it's the only organization that is recognized by the International Olympic Committee. So hopefully one day, because it is now recognized, hopefully one day we'll have kickboxing in the Olympics. But until then, right now the biggest event for our sport is the World Championships. That takes place every 2 years. and this year is a world championship year. It rotates around different countries all the time. It's going to be held in Bosnia here starting next weekend. There's like over, I think, 147 different countries that are part of WACO, and we're going to be the national team for the USA. I think this year we've got, 25 competitors going, plus another maybe 10 or 12 like support staff and coaches that are coming along as well. And then we've had a number of different events over the last year that have kind of narrowed down our team to help select who the fighters are going to be. And through the tryouts and through some of the events, and because in the past both Nate and Pam have participated at WACO tournaments, they were selected to go and be part of the team this year.
How does the team, or how does the WACO, how do they make their selection for team?
They did a national tournament, so that filled a number of the positions this year from their national tournament that happened this year. Mm-hmm. But because it's mostly amateur competitors that go to the tournament, they did some hand selections of professional fighters. So Nate has competed at two different WACO world championships in previous years, and he's done other WACO events as well. So he was kind of hand selected for that weight class. Mm-hmm. And then Pam has done the WACO Nationals a couple times previously when it was in Las Vegas, and she won it over there too. So that was a couple years ago, but she was still kind of hand selected as one of the pros to take that spot for this weight class too.
Why is it we don't know some of, I don't really follow, say kickboxing all that much. I follow Muay Thai kickboxing, but not like, American kickboxing. And do these different types of kickboxing cross over into the WACO?
Yeah, we do have some fighters that cross over between the two sports. We've got definitely some MMA fighters. We got some Muay Thai fighters that are part of the kickboxing team. And then vice versa. A lot of the kickboxers will go over to Muay Thai tournaments as well.
So I'm going to go to Nate because he's competed. And then I'm just going to pass it over. So Nate, how many times have you participated at the WACO tournaments?
Two. This would be my third one.
And how did you do last time you were in it? You were in like 2016 or something?
Yeah. Last time we went to Serbia and I did great. Unfortunately, I lost a tough fight from a champion from France, mm-hmm. on a controversial call, then got the opportunity to perform in Ireland in a different class set of rules. So it's another great experience to learn again.
Were you at the same tournament as Caitlin Young when she was there?
Unfortunately, I broke my hand, so I couldn't participate in that tournament.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Wow, that must have been. And you're fully recovered from the hand?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was like 3 years ago.
It was 3 years ago. Okay. Yeah. I haven't followed this before. This is all new to me. So I'm like, this is really exciting for, other fans listening to this and finding out, actually getting to know more fighters. But how many women were in the tournaments? On your team, on the US team.
On my team, I think there was four or five. What's the name? Amanda. I don't know how to say her last name, so I don't want to mess it up. Kaylin Young and one other girl, but I just don't know that name offhand.
So this year, the team's grown quite a bit. Like you have 24 participants from the U.S. going this year.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. And then, and I'm going to bring in Pam. Pam, you've competed, in this before. I didn't know that. I don't know how I missed that before, but this is how many times, is this your second time or?
This is my second time. I competed once before I went professional in MMA. I went out to Vegas in the tournament down there.
Oh, wow. So is it only open to amateur fighters?
So this tournament, it's very different internationally than what it is in the U.S. So the like for the world championships, it's any fighters, the best that can compete. Most of the countries are bringing their top professional fighters. So that's why we've invited and opened the door for bringing over Pam and Nate and other professional fighters as well. However, some of the tournaments that we hold locally in the United States, a lot of times at some of these tournaments that we do, you can only have amateurs compete. You can't bring in professionals sometimes. So it's been kind of a hard challenge for us as a team to kind of do some tournaments to figure out who the best of the best fighters are, because a lot of state athletic commissions will not let professionals and amateurs fight together.
Yeah, I could see that would be a problem. I mean, I just went to a Muay Thai show last night, and it was all pretty much all amateurs. And it's hard to tell who's, you know, going from state to state to pick somebody. Who's in charge of picking all those fighters throughout the country?
Well, we have our coaches that are going to all these different events, and then we're trying to use the national tournament as the main way to select the fighters now.
How do you know which, do people get onto a list or of some kind, or do they apply to, you know, Waco to be considered?
If they want to prove that they're the best of the best, they enter the national tournaments, and that's where they get a chance to prove it.
Okay. So that they have to get on to that and go to the national tournaments. All right, cool. See, I don't know anything about this. This is so neat. So Pam, tell me about your first experience at one of these tournaments.
I actually don't remember all that much about it. I just remember we went down to Vegas. I think I competed twice, both in low kick and in K1. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was a great experience. There's a lot of people there. It was really cool to watch so many different styles.
How long ago was it when you competed?
Gosh, I think it was 3 or maybe even 4 years ago.
So it was kind
of like, it's been a while.
So was it in the kind of beginning of your up and coming, like getting into MMA and stuff? Was it prior to all that? Like getting into Invicta?
Yeah, it was before I went professional. Man, maybe it was even longer than 4 years ago. It was a long time ago, I feel like.
Yeah, because
But it was a good well, and I enjoyed it.
That's cool. So going over to some of these other countries, does it get a little bit scary or whatever? I mean, when I think of Bosnia, it was in the news a long time ago. It wasn't a good place to go to. How is it now over there? Is it safe?
Yeah, from everything we've heard, it's a safe place to go. A lot of people traveling to Bosnia, and it's completely different now.
Okay, cool. And then I did see Justin, but I think we lost him. So how do they pick the coaches now, like for the, you know, like for this team? How do they go about doing that?
So both myself and Mark Grubel, we're the two head coaches for the team. So we've both been a part of WACO Team USA for jeepers since like 2005. We were both fighters originally, and then we kind of stayed on as coaches afterwards. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, when other fighters who are part of the team get selected, a lot of times their coach will travel along as an assistant coach. So myself and Mark Grubel are pretty much at all the tournaments that we bring Team USA to. And then we have assistant coaches that kind of come with us based upon who's actually competing on each individual event.
So for Pam, I mean, Pam, you just won, you know, the Invicta title championship. For the featherweight division. It was one of your goals. So this apparently is another goal. How did this all come about to be a goal of yours to compete in a, you know, a different format? It's kickboxing. What made you decide to go back to that alone instead of
my coach, Chris, actually asked if I'd be interested in doing it. And, you know, I started off in kickboxing. I was doing kickboxing before I started MMA. It's something I've always really, really enjoyed. And I really like competing pretty much in any sport. But being that it's kind of, you know, I've been going a year in between MMA fights. So it's kind of nice to get a really cool experience like this in there in between my MMA fights. Mm.
Yeah, it's going to be a completely different experience. Now, do you fight with headgear and shin guards and everything at this particular event?
Yeah, I believe he said there's headgear, shin guards. I think we even have to wear like chest protectors and groin protectors.
So that's going to be cumbersome.
Yeah.
Right? That'll be different. So Nate, when you broke your hand and stuff, I mean, like, you must have hit the person really hard.
Unfortunately, I did that like 2 weeks in my MMA fight. So I couldn't, I did that, but I didn't notice I broke it. It happened in the second round, fought him till the third round, finished him off. Then I found out Monday morning that it was actually broken.
Oh, man. So you're an MMA fighter too?
Yeah.
And what's your record right now? Are you AMI or professional?
Professional. I'm 7-1.
Nice. Where have you fought before?
I fought not too long ago in LFA 2 weeks ago.
Nice. But like what promotion companies? Just I'm like, you know, like people might not, you know, you now, you know, people will know who you are like a little bit from my group of people might not. I didn't know who you were other than through Pam. And I'm just like saying, where can they find you?
Right. I used to fight in Legacy till Legacy and RFA merged to make LFA. Okay. But after that, I was in Glory Kickboxing.
Oh, cool. All right, cool. Nice. That's great. And Chris, you coach both of these fighters.
Yes, I do. They both train out of our gym at the Cellar Gym.
Oh, nice. Wow. So that's great. Cool. So this is you're going over to Bosnia in 2 weeks. And what kind of prep, how has your training been different than, say, MMA? Like, say, Pam and Nate, you can jump in.
No takedowns. So we don't got to worry about that. So it's all been a lot of striking, a lot of fast pace. It's 2 minutes, so it's a lot of being busy.
How about you, Pam? Do you feel like the temptation to go and do a takedown when you're in the middle? I don't know how you can turn it off. How do you turn it off? Like when limit your skills.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we still get the one warning. So if it happens, it'll be okay. But no, it's been mostly just focusing more on like our kicks and staying busy. I mean, like Nate said, I'm going from training for a 25-minute fight to training to a 6-minute fight. Mm-hmm. So I think the pace and getting used to, you know, we don't have a 5-minute round to kind of get comfortable and get going. We got to get going right away.
Yeah, 2 minutes is short, right? You don't have 3 to 5 minutes, yeah, or whatever. That is, you got to get like things going on. But do you feel like it's cardiovascularly a little bit more challenging because you are like constant? I mean, like last night when I was watching these fights, I mean, people, they're like, you know, just go. If they're throwing strikes and kicks, do you feel like it's a slightly different than, say, you know, doing MMA?
Yeah, it just seems like it's probably going to be a faster pace. You don't have as much time, so you really got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Nate? What do you think? Is there much of a difference?
Like I said, it's a faster pace, but one thing me and Pam always do, we always are conditioned for wherever we're going to, whether it's MMA, kickboxing. Mm-hmm. We pretty much stay on top of our cardio a lot.
What do you guys do for that to keep your cardio up? Do you do a lot of running? I mean, like bike or swim? What do you do?
We run a lot, and we do a lot of trail running, so a lot of hills, Stairmasters. So we just pretty much stay as active as possible.
Do you have to cut weight for this, or is it by weight class?
We do have to cut weight before this. Unfortunately, I'll be fighting at 156 for this one, and Pam will tell you what she's fighting at.
I'm fighting at 154.
154? Okay.
Yeah.
The tournament's very different for international competition. So they have to weigh in every single day of the tournament. So that changes how you do the weight cut. So rather than MMA where you weigh in one time and then you fight the next day, you weigh in here and you have to fight a couple hours later. Then you have to weigh in the next day, then the next day. So because of that, fighters are not typically cutting a whole lot of weight. It's a couple of pounds at the most.
Oh, okay. So they're basically fighting at their walking around weight.
That's kind of the goal. I mean, there's still a lot of people to cut 2 or 3 pounds, but it's a lot smaller compared to your average MMA weight cut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's interesting. Do you guys as fighters think that that's better?
That's hard to say because, like, I like it because I don't really like to cut weight. I feel like when I cut less water weight, I feel like I just perform better. Mm-hmm. But all it takes is for one person to cut a massive amount of weight, and then they're going to be bigger than everybody in here. So, I don't know.
Yeah. How about you, Nate? Do you feel like it's better for you, or?
I say it's fine either way because the smaller I am, the faster I am, but I don't got to cut as much. It's a fair advantage for everybody else.
Yeah. Do you know who you'll be fighting in this? You know, do you know already, have an idea of who you will be fighting, or is it just random?
It's random. Pretty much you're going to get, your name's going to be put in, you're going to be draw up against somebody from a different country. Right now, I know I got 25 people in my division, so depending who I get, it's going to be a busy week for me.
Mm-hmm. And same for you, Pam, right? You have no idea. So are there like, for Chris, are there like eight, is it an equal amount of women that are going over to Bosnia as well as men for the team, for the U.S. team?
I believe we have a few more males attending this year than females. But this is probably the most females we've ever taken over before.
How many do you have?
I got to look at the list. There's more fighters than I can remember. I want to say we have close to 11 females out of the 25 that are participating.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow. Do you know if this will be televised at all? Or
I believe it's going to be streamed. And usually Waco always does a stream on their Waco YouTube channel.
So they have a YouTube channel. Now I noticed too that they do other events that include weapons and.
Yeah, so Waco actually has 7 different rule styles for kickboxing. Mm-hmm. And one of the rule styles, they've kind of also taken over like the karate style of forms competition. That's one of the divisions they do. That's not going to be taking place in Bosnia though. So because they have 7 different rule styles, they actually have 2 different events to do their world championships at. This one's going to be K1 rules, which is what both Nate and Pam are competing in. They also do low kick rules, and they're also going to do light contact. So light contact is kind of like more of a beginner level for kickboxing. It doesn't take place in a boxing ring. It's just on the floor, like the mats and stuff. But the one you're talking about with the weapons, that'll be at a different event, at a different world championships for that real style.
So is it their whole goal to eventually create enough, information out there for people to watch it to eventually get, like, say, kickboxing into the Olympics?
Yep, that's the goal. So I think it was last year in November or December, the IOC actually recognized Waco as the official sport of kickboxing and the official regulators for kickboxing. So that's a huge step moving forward to get recognized by the Olympics. So now we're in the provisional period and we're trying to work our way to actually maybe one day be featured in the Olympics.
Would you like to be an Olympic coach for these fighters?
Of course.
Yeah, who wouldn't, right? And so I didn't know this about you, Pam. Is this one of your goals, maybe, to compete in the Olympics?
I mean, if the opportunity was there, absolutely. Yeah. As long as I'm not 50 years old by the time it happens. So hopefully it happens soon.
Yeah, right. And how about you, Nate? Was this always kind of your intention, or are you just like competing?
Unfortunately, I say no. I started off in MMA, and Chris kind of got me into kickboxing to challenge me outside my comfort zone and see what I can learn, basically. So I'm always up for any new opportunity, basically, that comes my way.
How long have you been involved in mixed martial arts or kickboxing or any of it? How long have you been involved?
Mixed martial arts, I say about 8 years now. Kickboxing will be about 4.
Oh, cool. Wow. So quite a while. And what got you involved in it?
Actually, just to be honest, I just wanted to learn how to defend myself. I didn't have any kind of goals or anything to get into fighting at all. I just wanted to learn how to protect myself. And one thing led to another. I learned something that I was like, does this really work? And eventually I took my first MMA fight 6 months later and continued after that.
So has Chris been your coach the entire time?
No, I actually met him after my gym got closed. So I started boxing more. Eventually, most of my teammates went to the cellar. I came there and so to see what the whole talk was about. And eventually he schooled me and humbled me as well. So I stuck with him and started learning from him.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, when you had your first, first MMA fight or first kickboxing fight, was he your coach too then? Or
unfortunately, not for my first MMA fight. For my first kickboxing fight, yes. Okay. So we've been together for 4 years now.
Very good. And Pam, is Chris your coach? Like, has been your coach all along? Yeah.
Yep, I started with him in 2012, kind of started from scratch, and I've been there ever since.
So, Chris, you must be quite psyched to have an Invicta FC champion.
Of course, in definitely. Your house.
Yeah.
It's been very cool to see Pam's progression over the years and how far she's taken it.
Yeah, that's great. And were you concerned, you know, like after her – prior to like her fighting and getting the championship, like everything that she went through, how were you as a coach to kind of get her motivated or keep her inspired or keep her, you know, from, I mean, she went through some tough shit and
I don't think
to keep her going. Like, I mean,
I don't think Pam lacks on motivation or inspiration. She's pretty self-motivated as far as that kind of stuff. But we definitely got the phone call for that fight opportunity before she was like back to 100%. So it was we had to have some talks about stuff and, she ultimately decided she wanted to make a run at it and go for it. And it worked out great.
Yeah. But as a coach, like, I mean, you have to kind of like weigh things out. Is it safe for my, you know, like
definitely.
All this sort of stuff. So what goes through your mind as a coach to, you know, keep her going forward safely and where she gets to, you know, each, you know, marker is getting closer to the event and keep her there safely. How is it, you know, you could manage that as a coach, and what were like any kind of challenges that you even faced?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was definitely tough. Cause again, we got that phone call and we could both tell that she wasn't at 100% when they first offered the fight to her. But I had a lot of talks with Pam and she was telling me that her doctors were telling her that, you know, basically it was safe for her to compete. It might be a little bit painful for some of the training at that time. But it was basically, she was given the go ahead to go. Mm-hmm. So after hearing that medically she was cleared to do it, we kind of talked about it. And the next step was kind of getting that little mental hurdle to kind of get over that mentally, get back to where she used to be. And, she just started grinding and started going. And, you know, I was always prepared that if I saw some kind of warning signs or if I saw, you know, things not working out, we would have to maybe take a step away, but it never came to that. She was training super hard. She was feeling better and better every week. And she ended up having a fantastic training camp.
How did it, help you grow as a coach?
How did it help me grow as a coach? I think that's probably one of the bigger kind of external, not really an injury, but the bigger kind of outside forces that kind of took away a fighter that I've had to work with in the past. We definitely had some outside forces to work around. And it was definitely a challenge and a learning experience trying to deal with that and overcome those hurdles and keep moving forward.
Now, is this your first time to coaching like a team this large, you know, to compete at, you know, on an international level?
Just for the number of fighters we're having, the last couple of years at the World Championships, we usually had between like anywhere from 8 to 15 competitors come along. which is always a challenge, kind of managing that many competitors. So now it's up to 25, I think. So it'll be a little bit of extra work, but it won't be anything too crazy, I don't think.
Yeah,
and we do have more assistant coaches coming along this time than previous.
Yeah, and everybody's healthy, is able to fight, no, like, you know, hopefully no
challenge. Unfortunately, you know, we'll find out when we get there. I mean, there's fighters coming from all over the country. Some I've been in really good touch with, others that I have not been able to really see or work with lately. So when we all kind of arrive together, because we're all taking different flights out there, when we actually all arrive together in Bosnia is when I'll actually get a chance to really hear from everybody and see how they're doing.
Yeah, and you haven't, most of them you haven't trained before, so you don't even know how they move. Or
there's a few people that I haven't worked with before, but the other head coach, Mark Grubel, has. And there's a few people that I have. We got two guys from Hawaii coming out that are awesome fighters, really good guys. I got to work with them in Mexico, and I'm excited to see them again. We've got some other fighters from Illinois coming out that are fantastic. We had a big training camp about a month and a half ago. That Pam and Nate went to and got to work with a lot of the awesome fighters down there. And yeah, I'm excited about this team. It's a really strong team this year.
So when they're deciding on who wins what, how do they gear? Is it belts? Is it trophies? Is it medals? What do the fighters win? Is it cash?
So for this tournament, it's they award medals. It's a gold medal, it's a silver medal, or a bronze medal.
Nice.
They sometimes do some special extra prize, like a belt or a trophy for the gold medal winner, but it's not always that way. The big thing is trying to win a world championship medal, and the pride that comes along with that is huge. Other countries is different. Like if you're from Russia and you win a gold medal, you're getting a cash prize from your government as well. Unfortunately, we don't have that yet in the U.S.
Interesting. Wow. Wow. This is really interesting. You guys all must be excited. So is there anything else you guys like to add? You could go one by one. I know you guys have a GoFundMe page. If you want to actually talk about that a little bit, that would be great.
Sure. So, yeah, the big challenge we have as American athletes, most of these national teams, they're all funded by their governments. So, again, like looking at like countries like Russia or Kazakhstan or Poland, their national federation for sport funds their national team to go travel and compete. And a lot of these people, that's all they do year round. They're paid by their government to be a kickboxer. And it's a lot harder in the U.S. because we don't have that. It's not an Olympic sport yet in the U.S. So a lot of our fighters, they have to have other jobs on the side, and then they have to pay their own way to get to the World Championships. They have to pay their own way to get to the Pan American Championships. We got to pay for our hotel, our flight, our food, all that kind of stuff. So to help kind of make it possible for, you know, Nate and Pam and the other fighters from this team to go compete, we created a GoFundMe page to kind of help get some sponsors and get some donations and stuff to help support these guys. They also did a seminar a couple weeks ago where they had a bunch of people come in and they taught a seminar teaching their favorite techniques and drills to help kind of raise some funds that way to help pay for the travel expenses so they can represent the USA.
Awesome. So are you guys all set to go financially, Pam and Nate?
We have
Go ahead.
Sorry, no, you can go ahead.
Go ahead, Pam.
As of right now, like, we have our flights and everything are all set. I know we can still use a bit more support. We're still a bit short of our goal. However, we'll make do with what we have right now. I mean, it's not like we're in danger of not going, but we're just, it's still, things are tight.
And how about you, Nate?
I pretty much say the same thing she said.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, and it's getting like, 24, 25 other fighters over there, and staying in hotels, the flights, all that goes with it, meals. So that's actually quite a bit to do on a regular basis for fighters, I'm sure. And then I suppose it would limit how many fighters actually do it, right?
Exactly. That's why there's not a whole lot of professional fighters that participate in this. Mm-hmm. A lot of pros, they want to get paid to fight, and they don't want to pay their own way to go out and represent the USA. So it's pretty cool that we've got Nate and Pam that are excited about this opportunity and want to go fight for our country and mm-hmm. prove how good American fighters are.
Yeah, because we have amazing fighters over here. That seems funny that not as many would want to do that. I know Caitlin Young did it like a couple years ago. Yeah. And now, of course, Pam is doing it in Nate, which is great. Are there other professional fighters, or are they the only two that are?
No, there's other professional fighters as well.
There are. That's awesome. So, well, maybe things will change, and there'll be more support for this. I know I'd like to see this in the Olympics. That would be one thing that I would certainly watch. I get a little bored with ice skating and gymnastics. I would rather watch this stuff, you know? That's just me. So it's up to you guys to be changing things. I want to thank you guys for coming on to the show. If you want to just give a shout out to anybody, that would be great. And then the GoFundMe page, what it's called, you could list that. And I actually will put that in the blog once I post this. Ooh, who's that?
What's going on?
Coach. Boxing coach.
So what is the GoFundMe page?
It's just the GoFundMe.com and then / it's 2019-kickboxing-world-championships-Bosnia. So it's kind of a long one. We can give that link to you too.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm sure I can get it from Pam. That's awesome. So I'd like to thank you for coming on the show. Pam, can you hang on for a minute? Because I have some other questions for you, just a little end of whatever to kind of wind this down. But it was great to meet you, Nate. Good luck. And good luck to you, Chris. Have a great time over in Bosnia. And good luck to the U.S. Team USA.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having us. This.
Thank you.
Did I hear Nate's getting pizza? Yeah. Did I hear them arguing about pizza?
That must be it. I don't know. I heard a lot of stuff going on in the background there. So what's up with what will be your next has there been any talk about Invicta and like what your next challenge will be with that or nothing for this year?
Gosh, you know, I have reached out to Shannon. So this is not recorded, right?
Oh, this is recorded, but I can edit it.
I've reached out to him. I've expressed interest. I haven't heard, you know, they were kind of like, oh, well, we'll see what's possibly going to be next for you. And I just haven't heard back yet. So I was kind of half hoping that maybe there'd be room for me on the November card, or maybe they'd have one in December. Mm-hmm. But I mean, hopefully whatever comes after November, hopefully I'll get on that one.
Yeah. Or maybe right after the first of the year or something like that, hopefully. Cause I know we haven't heard anything. Yeah. And then recently the card changed a bit because they had Jin Yu Fry, but she was injured. So that kind of put that on the sidelines, her weight class a little bit. So I was wondering what was happening with featherweight, if you knew anything, but that's okay. I mean, I'm sure you'd like to see something and get like another fight in the books before the end of the year, but yeah.
Especially this trip is expensive. To get another regular fight in there.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any predictions for the Cyborg and Bud fight?
Oh, that'll be, I think Cyborg will win, but I think it'll actually be a good fight. Part of me is just biased because I've seen more of Cyborg than I have of Julia Budd. I know Julia Budd's like super talented, a very good kickboxer, but I'm always slightly biased towards Cyborg.
Yeah, same here. Same here. I'd like to see it too, but I'd like to see Bud give her like a run for her money, just to see if how much she's grown as a competitor, you know, compared to maybe several years ago, and to really see if she can, you know, hang with somebody of Cyborg's caliber. Cause it's hard to tell, when you're looking at the different promotions, it's like, who's going to be, who is really the lead? I mean, Cyborg fought in the UFC. She lost, and she's, you know, but now, so it's just kind of, actually, I'm kind of glad that she's kind of getting bounced around a little bit, and we can see what because she's getting the opportunity to fight at different promotions to see how that plays out, which gives you, I mean, like, you could sit back and say, okay, what's next for Pam? You know, you never know.
Yeah.
What opportunities could arise. That's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we're still hoping that, I mean, maybe the UFC will call, maybe they won't. I don't know what they have going on with their division, but hopefully they'll either start people or, I mean, you hate to say let the other featherweights go, but I mean, either have a division or don't have a division.
I think they'll keep it. I don't know what's in store for it. Right now at this point, but I mean, there are opportunities out there that, you know, Bellator. Did I say Strikeforce before? I just have like, I mean Bellator, but it's just, things have changed. And I still think of Scott Coker with Strikeforce. So it's just, it's ingrained. But I mean, I know he's Bellator now, which I was actually happy to see that, cause I like him as a promoter. But anyways, I want to wish you luck. What's that?
I think he'll treat her well, treat her the way she kind of deserves to be treated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He was always great at treating all the women, I think. Probably the best out of, as a promoter, the best. He really shines for women in mixed martial arts. I want to thank you for coming onto the show, and I want to wish you luck. I'm like excited for you.
I
think it's funny that you're going to be wearing, when I saw it, that you're going to have to wear like headgear and all that. I think it's going to be kind of, do you feel like it's going to be funny for you to do that? Cause you haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, I haven't, I don't even train with headgear anymore.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's just like any other fight where, you know, you get in there, if something's uncomfortable, even if it's like, oh, I think my braids are too tight, you get in there and you forget about it.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing I'll just get in there and forget about the headgear, forget about the shin pads.
Yeah. So it's all based on points too, or knockouts?
So it is on points. I mean, obviously you win if you get a knockout, but they do a very different scoring over there. So it's cumulative. So it's not like a round by round scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody could lose the first two rounds and come back in the third round. Cause I guess the judges will have little clickers, and every time a clean shot lands, they click. And if all the judges click on a certain technique, then you get a point.
Wow.
And it's just cumulative throughout the whole fight. So it's not scored round by round, it's scored throughout the whole fight.
Wow.
That'll be different.
Yeah, for sure. There's always like different ways of doing it. I mean, I was sitting next to a judge yesterday at this No Boundary fight in Melrose when they were having it. And he was telling me how he scores, you know, the fights and stuff. And typically in Thailand, you know, this is, you know, kicks are worth more than strikes, or, you know, like punches. And so, but he's like, I don't typically, it depends on, you know, there's a lot more going on here. There's damage, there's all this other stuff. So he was trying to do a more well-rounded approach to it than counting. Oh, he had, you know, 10 kicks and he only had one. And then came, you know, like, but the one guy, you know, knocked the other guy down on the floor and, you know, just different stuff. So it's different, and it's hard to keep track of how they score things. So you're getting a very broader, knowledge base of fighting and how they base stuff. So, which is really cool. And I think what's really cool about having you on the show today is for our listeners to learn about this event, and that there is some somebody out there, you know, Waco. Is it Waco or Waco? Waco?
Waco.
Waco. I'm like Waco, Waco, Waco. I'm like, I always do this. I overthink it. And I'm like, I overthink names and stuff. I'm like, I know I'm going to mess it up. But the funny thing is these fighters sometimes, you know, like these AMIs that I saw last night, really good and stuff, they probably didn't even know about this. And it's like, yeah. Oh, this would be the next, if they, all they want to do is kickboxing or something like that, there's this opportunity that's in a foot that, I mean, could potentially lead them into an opportunity to get into the Olympics, you know, if there's this push. And this is how women's mixed martial arts started. Nobody believed that there was going to be women in, you know, the UFC or there would be, you know, Invicta FC, a single standing women's, promotion that is highly regarded. And now there is. So there's this opportunity. And I praise you for being, you know, putting yourself out there as a professional fighter and going, you know, risking actually harm, you know, like, and not being paid to do this, but you're actually helping elevate the sport. And, you know, along with your teammate, Nate, and your coach, Chris, I really applaud you, because this is really, these are the leaders and the shakers and the pioneers of, you know, I'm saying this to everybody, these are the people that we should be looking to as leaders. And I really applaud you. And too, I mean, you were too, getting the featherweight division kind of, you know, kicking up too. You were speaking loud about it. And this is another adventure for you. And I applaud you. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Pam. You're awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks the guys again. And it was really great to meet them. And I will get this posted. I'm going to work on it actually now to get it up live, because you're actually leaving. Oh, you got to be out. When are you leaving to go there? You got to be out there for the 17th.
We leave on Friday.
Oh, wow.
Less than a week.
Yeah. So.
And then the whiner over there. I don't know if you can see her.
No, she's shy now when it's live. She was on the screen earlier.
Yeah. And now she's like, come on. Like, she wants to go to the park.
Yeah. Okay. Well, take your dog to the park and good luck to you. I hope you come back with a medal.
Me too. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Toodles.
And then I did. Yeah. I do have,
Oh, sure.
What?
Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
Oh, I was just going to tell you, I do have that GoFundMe link. It's on my bio of my Instagram. And then I know I've shared it. I'm probably going to share it again today, on my fighter page.
Okay.
Cause yeah, it is a lot.
Okay. I'll definitely share it and I'll put it on, I'll put it in this too.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye. Say bye-bye, Molly.
Oh, what a cutie.
I know. It's like,
she looks great on the screen. Yay.
All right. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Take care, Pam. And good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'd like to thank Pam for coming on to the show, and wish her and her teammates good luck as they venture over to it's Sarajevo, Bosnia, for the Waco International Tournament, or World. It's actually a World Championship, which is really, really cool. So if you liked what you heard today and are eager to hear more, never miss an episode from Evolve WMMA and moi, Shelly Devine, by remembering to subscribe and download on iTunes, or you can listen while you're doing other things. Or you can find us, at Podomatic, Shout Engine, or Spotify at Evolve Women's MMA. Or if you prefer to watch, you can find a new episode on YouTube at Women's MMA. And if you enjoy the episode, please leave a review. It helps people find the show. And please mention Pam Bam Sorensen and how she inspired and motivated you. lastly, if nothing else, you can simply follow us at facebook.com/ILoveWMMA. This is Shelley Devine. Until next time, thanks for listening.